Today we're talking about relationship and generosity. And the question that I ask is this, is generosity connected in some way to our relationship with God? And I'm going to say, absolutely. Absolutely. But see if Malachi is teaching that. Because if the Bible doesn't teach it, then you don't have to worry about a thing that I say. And if you don't have to worry about a thing I say, talk to the elders and tell them that. Get somebody up front that you have to worry about what they say. Malachi chapter 3. If you're not there yet, it's the last book of the Old Testament. In my class, this time at VBS, we were practicing finding places in the Bible. If you open your Bible in dead center, if it's a study Bible or missing pages, this won't work this way. Dead center, you should find the Psalms. Big book, 150 page Psalms. And then if you take the right side and open the middle, you should find Matthew. And if you find that, then you just go backwards to the first thing on the left that's not Matthew, and that's Malachi. Or you can go to the front of the Bible and look at your table of contents. But I always encourage people to look at the scriptures. We've got the notes for you to take. We've got the stuff behind so you can check on me and make sure what I'm saying actually does come from the Bible. And we've got your Bible to look in, and you'll learn so much more. If it's your own Bible, don't mark the pew Bible. If it's your own Bible, mark the stuff that I missed or the stuff that I got and the things you want to remember. 4 points today in considering about this relationship between God and our generosity. And the first one is God's people have turned from God. You're not surprised to find that if you've been listening to me in Malachi, because Malachi, my messenger from God, is his name. My messenger came to tell them, you guys are falling short and you're messing up. You're acting religious, but you're not acting in a godly way. It's not what God asks for. All of us want to say we're doing what God wants. Only those that follow the scriptures are actually doing what God wants. God's people have turned aside from God. And we know that he started in chapter 1 saying it's the priests, it's the leaders, it's the guys up front. You're guilty of doing this. Verse 7, you've turned aside. Turn aside what God says. Just ignore it, because when you listen to God's word, implicit biblical listen means that you hear it and you obey it. Doesn't mean you hear it and you ignore it. Like, Billy, come to dinner. Well, you hear it, but you ignore it. Billy, come to dinner. Billy, come to dinner. William John Doe, if you don't come to dinner, I'm going to skin you within an inch of your life. Oh, here I am. You know, they know when you really want them. They heard it, but they didn't really obey. They didn't obey, so they didn't really listen. They did not really listen. These people have turned aside. They're not listening. They're not obeying God's word. And because they've turned aside, they've picked wrong paths. And we've got choices all day long, hundreds of choices, maybe thousands of choices. But we've got different choices, even in the most boring life. You've got multiple choices each day that you can choose to follow God's way or go another way. You can choose to start your day with God or something else. You can choose to, you know, and I know for some of you, all right, coffee doesn't count. You got to start coffee, then you can start with God. But and ending the day, you can end with God or end without. You know, and through the day, you know, you can think of them when the meals, and you can spend some time in prayer and scripture, or you can turn aside and do something else. And these people were so used to turning aside, they can't even remember what they have turned from, and they identify with what they are doing as being God's way, when they're actually centered on themselves. And when you're centered on yourself, you are going to end up doing what they did in number two. And that is God's people are robbing God. And you know, the thing he talks about here is money. But you can rob God of the time he wants you to give. I'm too busy to worship. I'm too busy to study. I mean, for people that are older and got nothing better to do in life, maybe they can spend time praying, but I don't have too much time. I'll just say, God bless everybody. Amen. Some people take that approach. Robbing God of time. Robbing God of affection, robbing God of your prayer life, conversation, intimacy. He's designed you to enjoy him and enjoy others, and you're just going to enjoy others. And actually what you're going to do is try to get others to enjoy you. That's robbing God. And you're actually robbing yourself when you are robbing God. How are we robbing God? Well, he says, in the tithes and the offerings. I trust you all know what a tithe is. I remember some dear fellow when I was just a youngster in another church. It wasn't the Baptist church. And he was asked to come up front and read the scripture and had the word in there, tithe, and he didn't know how to say it, didn't know what it was. He went to his Sunday school teacher, and the Sunday school teacher didn't either, but she guessed. I think it means tithes. And so he went up there and read, you know, give your tithes and offerings to God. Well, it's tithes. And what is a tithe? Tithe is 10%. Now, you may not be a mathematician, but 10% means if you earn a dollar, you give God a dime. I mean, that's the technical thing. I'm not going to say that's what you're supposed to do. But if you earn $10, you give God at least a dollar. If you earn $50, you give God five. If you earn $100, you give God 10. Well, do you give it before or after taxes? Hey, you talk to God about that. I do it before taxes. Whatever percentage I have, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I do that before taxes. I take that out to give to God, and then the government charges me. And, hey, that's my business, not God's. God gave me the money. I'm going to be responsible and give him the share of it that I think he's put on my heart that I should give. And he has never failed to repay me in many, many different ways for that. Your tithes, that's 10% in Malachi. That's what he meant, 10%. Of course, if you look at the Old Testament, some of you realize there's a little debate about all these different tithes that are rolling around in the Old Testament. There's at least a tithe. And then it could be another full tithe to take care of the priests, the preachers. And that would be 20%. And then there's another tithe they do every 3 years. So that's like a third. So that'd be 23 1/3%. Well, you can take 10, 20, 23 and a third. You can pick whatever one you want. There's probably somebody out there that says it's 30. It's not. In the Old Testament, it's at least 10. And maybe if you look at those others, it's a little bit more that you're earning, you know, owing even more than one full tithe. Let's just, it's upsetting enough for people that don't do this, just to say a tithe is 10%. But then, do you see the next word? Contributions. Or it might say in yours, offerings. These are extra gifts. Something you want to give in addition to that. Because it's not like, I mean, if you want to be a Pharisee, Pharisees are like that. The Pharisees would say, all right, you give me 10 kernels of corn. I love God so much, I'm going to count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One for God. And you say, oh, isn't that wonderful? You want to give one to God? No, it's not wonderful. They're trying to make sure that they don't give any of their 9 anyplace else but them. They're keeping 90% for themselves. They're never going to give a speck more. They're going to be very, very generous, but they're not going to be generous to God. They're going to be generous to themselves. And that's what they were. They were people that would never give a penny more than the absolute minimum that God required. And they thought God required 10%. That's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to learn how to be generous. And so you give what you think God wants you to give, and then you give some more. You give some more. And you might say, well, I'm poor. I don't have much money. I'm unemployed. Well, you know, if you're unemployed, you can't give God too much of your income, can you? Because you've got no income. You still could give an offering. I've seen people do that. People, and I normally turn them down if they do it to me, but somebody comes to me for counseling and gives me a slab of meat. I don't have any money, but if you don't have any money, take the meat home and eat the thing, would you please? You know, I don't want to take the little bit you have, you know, you're sharing your carrots. Well, I mean, if you've got plenty, I'll take some of your carrots, but, you know, you don't have to feel obligated to give me anything. You know, I don't want that because you don't have much. But say you're actually getting some money in. And say on the first day of the week, that's what it says in the Bible, we'll take the part out. And that's fine if you want to be the first day of the month and take it out. You do whatever God leads you to do. But regularly taking it out every week, every two, every four, whatever it is. I knew a couple that took it out every year. That's interesting. And they were disciplined, so they did it. I don't know that most of us should try doing that. But they take it out every week, and then you want to give something extra. Now, I've never been poor, but when I started out of college, I didn't get much. I got $10,000 a week. Now, they gave me a house to live in, so that really, really helped. You heard it faster than I heard it. And I think it threw a week. Now you know why I've never been really poor. I started there and went up. Actually, I did major in math, so that's a little bit of a faux pas. $10,000 a year. And thank you, Jesus. I was studying to be an engineer. I looked at the average starting salary was triple what I got with that. And it took me a long, long time. Of course, when I found you all, you were so kind, you took good care of me, and I have never wanted for anything thanks to your generosity and God's kindness in my life. But I'm going to share, at the time where I was had less money than now, my wife and I still were persuaded God wanted us to be generous. And so we didn't have too much, but the key is don't wait and see what you have left, because you never have anything left. When the money came, we took the part out for God, and then we took a part out for giving away to other people outside the church. And I must say, in those days, we started out with $5 a week. Well, you say that's not much, but we only had $2.50 a week that we took out for, we called it entertainment. That's eating out. And you can buy a big sandwich, a small sandwich, and a drink, and two straws at that time at McDonald's. I don't go to McDonald's too much now, but then we could eat out for $2.50. We could. And my sweet wife thought that was special. So we gave double for missions, our minister, our own missions ministry, and that was $5. And I want you to know that if you save that $5, in just a few weeks, you can buy some shoes for people. And you know, it takes a lot longer, but you can buy a tire for somebody. And we must have had a siege there where no needs came to mind. We bought a refrigerator once. I tell you, honest truth, we did not have money enough to buy a refrigerator for ourselves, because that came out of another wallet. But out of the place where we put it for God, we just stuck it in an envelope in a locked box. You know, it was there. It accumulated. And we just told God, when a need comes, you know, tell us, and hopefully it's in there. And one of those times must not have had a need for many months, and we could actually buy, they weren't as expensive as they are now back in those days, but they were electric, it wasn't just ice, and we could do that, and you can too. If you take out $2 a week, or $10 a week, or $5, or whatever God gives you, some of you, your offering is probably much, much more than that. You give your, whatever percentage you're giving to God, and then you take out something else, because you want to have fun. You want to have the fun of helping people. You know, and some of you, you've told me, it's not a problem. Money's never a problem. Somebody comes up, you just take care of it. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful that God has blessed you in that way. I just wanted it for the ones who feel a little bit more poor. I was poor once, too. I wasn't really poor, because in the relative to the world, I was not poor. But when I didn't have much, we still put something aside. And that way, I didn't just give to my church, but I had extra to give. And then eventually, we got missionaries, and we took out for God, we took out for the missionaries, and we still took out the $5 so we can buy something, you know, shoes for somebody or whatever. Because that's nice to have if you don't have much money. It's kind of like having a savings account, but you only tap it to help other people. It's when you don't have any money yourself to do that. All right, so there's tithes, and there's the generosity of an offering or contribution behind that. You know, if you think about this, everything belongs to God. You know, I know some dear folks, is your first Sunday here. I want to let you know, I grew up in a church where everybody, they didn't really honor the Bible. Everybody hated it when the pastor talked about money, and they talked about money all the time. And when I came here, I went like 20 years before I talked about money, and I realized I'm shortchanging you, because the Bible talks about money. So when the Bible talks about money, we're going to talk about money. And when it doesn't, maybe we won't. But today is the day when the Bible's talking about money, so we want to see what does the Bible say about that. And the Bible says that everything belongs to God anyway. So you really can't rob God. It's all still His. But if you think about this, why has God given you what He's given you? So if you have an income, or a car, or a house, or an income car and a house, why did God give that to you? Now, first off, there's some people that they're probably not in this building right now that think, well, God didn't give me any of that. I took it myself. My friend, look at your Bible, because that's all God's, and He gave it to you. You better start thanking Him, because if you don't manage it well, the parable of the talents says some serious stuff. He gave it to you so you can have something to use to give Him glory. And to take care of yourself and your family and take care of other people and give generously of course, to the work of God, which would be through the church and through missionaries, and have some fun on the side, too, helping other people up. I've had people tell me, see, I don't know what's in your heart and your mind, but I do know what other people have told me. I know one person, one time, we had a message on stewardship, giving to God, decades ago, and they came up and they said, you know, I always thought if I gave a dollar to the church and gave like $100 to my kids, I was doing that for God. But I'm realizing I need to take care of my family, and I'm not taking care of God at all. And they said they were convinced from the scriptures. So I know that some people think, oh, this thing that I'm doing, I'm buying NFL tickets, but it's really for God because I'm going to take a poor person. I don't know. We've got the funniest excuses for doing things, don't we? And sometimes I do too. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about actually giving it to God, something that's not yours, not taking care of your family, yourself, and others, that's going, you know, to the work of God through God's people. And first off, I'm always persuaded, if you've got a local church, use your local church. I thank God for the time that some person drove by and they gave their yearly tithe because they didn't have a local church. And they said, we have to give it to a local church. We're giving it to you. And don't you know, the next year I gave them a full report because I was hoping they'd give a second one. They only did it once, but it was in the building program and it funded. It was used twice. We used it, we paid it back, and we used it again to finish this building. Finish the dream. Anybody that remembers Finish the Dream can tell the ones that don't remember how that worked. So everything is God's, and he gives us some so we can worship him. And that's the part we're robbing. We're stealing back what God has given us that we should be giving him, and we're keeping it to ourselves. Think about this. In chapter 1, my messenger tells the people, you're guilty of low-quality gifts. You're supposed to give God the best from your flock, and you give them the roadkill, the one that's going to die any day now, and the one that's got a broken leg you're going to have to put down, so give it to God quick before you put it down. So the quality of your gift is not good. And here he's talking about the quantity of the gift. The quantity of the gift is no good. And you all know quality and quantity, and some people hide behind that. You know, men do this sometimes, and maybe some women that are trying to be like men do this too, and they say, well, I don't spend quantity time with my family, but I always give them quality time. You know, and some people do that with God. The one time they come to church every year or two, they give them real quality time. They think, oh, come on. You know, no family wants quality time only. They want some quantity also. And it's, you got to be led by God. Some people have got different quantities they can give. We all should be giving quality, that which is good. Somebody said earlier on, sacrificial giving. Yes, giving stuff not what your leftovers, but what, you know, what's going to be a little harder because you're giving out of your heart that you love God. And so we've seen the 2 points thus far here, that God's people have turned from God, and God's people are robbing God, when in fact what God wants is to give generously to God. He wants us to give generously to God. The first part of verse 10 talks about taking the full tithe. Don't take a part of it. There's a lot of people who think a tithe is whatever I give. If I put a dollar in there, that's my tithe. That's not your tithe. The full tithe is a full 10%. And again, this is Malachi, not New Testament. In Malachi, it was to give the 10%. Bring it all. Look to somebody else and say, bring it all. All right, now turn the other way and look somebody else and say, bring it all. Okay, hey, that second one heard it. Next week, I bet they're going to bring it all. Bring it all. If you're a child, ask your parents if it's the right thing to do or not. Don't necessarily show up with a wagon with every one of your toys and stuffed animals. That might not be what God is calling you to do. But children can adapt, bring it all much more quickly than we can. Because we make excuses because it would be hard. See, your intention, I intend to do good someday. No, bring it all. Bring it now. But I don't have enough. What God gave you, bring it. Bring it all. Notice it says in there in verse 10, it talks about food. I love food. That's not why that's in there. But I bring it up to let you know that a lot of the giving in those days was given to feed the people that did the temple work. And so it's not wrong, you know, when we have a pastor to pay for him. And if God blesses that we're not paying bivocationally, that we can pay for him to be full-time, and I certainly hope that we can by your generosity, then that's a fine thing. It's a biblical thing. It's also a biblical thing to be a tent maker and not have to pay the guy anything, you know, that they take care of themselves. And just make sure the one that you call has the exact same understanding of what they're being called to as you do. Now, some think this depends on having a lot of money. If you have a lot of money, then you can be generous. But poor people, they can't be generous. I know, anecdotally, that poor people, on average, are more generous than rich people. But I found, I looked and I actually found one, some statistics from the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics. They did a survey at a certain year, and they took the lower one-fifth, this is a few years ago, of income earners in the United States. This was pre-pandemic. And they earned a little bit more than $10,000 a year. And they gave 4.3%, not necessarily to the church, but all probably a good, some part of it, but they gave 4.3% to, you know, organizations they liked, the American Cancer Society and Save the Squirrels Society, and there's got to be one of them, and, you know, for helping other people, you know, Red Cross, Salvation Army at Christmas time. They gave 4.3%. Then they took the highest one-fifth wage earners in the country, and they averaged in excess of $158,000 a year, and they ended up giving 2.1%. The lowest fifth gave twice as much per capita, percentage-wise, as the rich people. Now, I know rich people that are extremely generous, and I know poor people that are extremely stingy. But on average, the poor people don't have as much, and it's easier to give it away. And they know what it's like to be poor. And so we don't want to like, oh, I can't be generous because I don't have much. Actually, the less you have, the more generous you can be. When I was unemployed and homeless, it was easy to give away anything I had because I didn't have much. When I had something, then it felt harder to give it away because I wanted to have it. And so we're not going to judge our generosity by how much money, but what God wants us to give. The New Testament standard for this is give according to your means. So I just flip right here to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you want to do some studying on this giving type thing in money, 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9 is a good place to be. So I'm going to hop to some of those verses right now. And there, nowhere in the New Testament that says that you're responsible to give 10% to God. Isn't that good news? If you're stingy, it's good news. I've thought about it because in the Old Testament it says, do not murder. And then Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say, do not call somebody a knucklehead, because that's just like murdering. He said, don't commit unfaithfulness with a woman, but I say to you, don't think about it in your mind. Now, when I compare the Old Testament to the New Testament, I see a lot of the laws that were really precise were stripped away, and instead, a greater expectation was there to reach the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. I'm keeping 90%. I'm not giving one penny more than 10. Then God says, no, just give as God has blessed you. Do you think by that he intends for us to, just keep it all? Or do you think by that he's giving you permission and encouragement to give more generously than 10%? Now, you have to talk to God about that. My conviction, you might have guessed, is right from the beginning, long before I ever was a pastor and saw the financial side of things. No, God expects me to do more than that. We know Jesus now. Certainly would expect, but what do you do? I don't know. That's between you and God. You've got to talk about it. You've got to talk about it with God, and if you're married, with your spouse, or if you're young, with your parents, and give according to what you have. Or these people that he was writing to, they not only gave according to their means, he's talking about. He's talking about people that gave, rather, beyond their means. Beyond their means. And he wants the Corinthians to learn from that. People that give beyond their means. You're not able to do this, but you do it anyway. Oh, thinking of the glorious time when we didn't have enough money to finish this building and people gave anyway. And suddenly money came because our hearts were all right with God. We gave beyond what we thought we could do, and it came in beyond what we thought was beyond. What a blessing. Sometimes a problem is a blessing because you find that God can enable you to give beyond. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that's verse 3, you read around in there, it talks about giving regularly, give sacrificially, give as God provides. There's people in our church, I ask the counters, I'd love to, but then I would be prejudiced against people that are stingy. So I don't ask, and they shouldn't tell. I know there's people in this church that give 10%. I know there's people in this church that give 15%. I know when we first were building things in the 90s that there was a certain percentage I could give you of the church that supported almost everything. And all the rest just were carried along. And they came, gave a dollar a week, and we're glad to see all the bills being paid by the people that were generous. And God honored that generosity. I think we've got a higher percentage of generous givers than an average church has. I think we've got people that still need to grow in giving. I still need to grow in giving, so we certainly do. Our church has people that give 10%, up to 15%. We have a few that give 20%. Very few, or maybe a little. This is just what people tell me. Or what we've gotten from anonymous surveys. And all of those, the generous people, give outside of the church too. I know they do. Others give less. But we pray that you're learning. Because you need to be learning to grow closer to Jesus. That's what the point of the whole thing is. This is not like a fundraising operation. Come here and just give, give, give. This is becoming more like Jesus' operation. And one part of that is the financial. And in fact, in my opinion, one of the ways that you can tell if somebody's growing spiritually is, has it hit their pocketbook and their wallet yet? Because when it's hit there, you know they see Jesus. And look at their lips. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. I do things reluctantly sometimes. You just heard me interchanging with our VBS worship leader just a little bit ago. You know, all the kids were supposed to come up. Does that mean I don't have to come up? Oh, no, you can't if you want to. I said, I don't want to. I don't want to come up there. I want to be like all the rest of you that just stay in the pew and nobody's looking at you. I don't want to be up there doing that. I'm shy about stuff like that. You don't know that's true, but it is. That's how my heart feels. I'm just shy about that. I don't want to do it. I did it because I thought I probably should. Somebody in my class is going to go up. Thank you, Andrew. I need to go up with him. And so I did. So I wasn't a cheerful giver, maybe. But I wasn't too grumpy about it. I wasn't too grumpy. And God wants us to be cheerful givers with the plate, too. Now, I don't know. I'm of an opinion, give it until you smile. If you want to, you can interpret this. Don't give it until you're ready to give it with a smile. Hey, it's between you and God. You want to rob yourself of a blessing, go rob yourself of the blessing. But pick something in there, and don't be happy if you don't enjoy what you're doing. I am telling you, when you know Jesus, I love being part of this church because so many people get excited. Can we do more? Can we give more? And we're always giving opportunities to give, and somehow you guys give things. A junior high can ask us for something, and in 3 or 4 days, you give every single need that they have. I don't have the faith that we're going to do it. And yet you do it somehow. Praise God. Cheerful giving. And finally, God's going to generously bless those who turn to him. This is the last verses, 10b through 12. In verse 10, the second part of verse 10, it says, test God to see what he's going to do. Try it out. See what he's going to do. I remember a testimony from a guy at next church down the road, First Baptist Northeast. Said, God, just put it on his heart. Put it on his heart. He should give this extra amount of money. And didn't know how he's going to afford to do it. But he knew God wanted him to. He thought he did. So he gave it. He gave the money, and then he got a raise. Now, This is not to say those guys that are in there, send me money, and God will give you twice as much. That's how it worked with him. A lot of times it doesn't work that way. You've got the same income, you just learn how to give more generously. Because God does not promise that he's going to give you more money because you give more money. That's not a generous heart. That's like a business contract. I mean, I'll go take out a loan and give to God because I know I'm going to get money back for the loan. No, that's not the way it works. God leads you to give, and God blesses. And that blessing could mean, in this guy at Northeast, it was greater income. And it could mean an ability to live with less. It'll always mean that there is more there of God's blessing. Verse 11, it says, you know, you won't fail to bear fruit. This is an agrarian economy. And so, you know, you can have a bad crop. And God's saying, I'm going to back you up with the crops. I'm going to make sure it works out. And I always think of goats at this time. And what's that next slide? Yeah. Yeah, there's the goats. There's the goats. You know, if you're a goat raiser, I'm not, but I've learned from goat raisers that in the United States, when you have a goat, they're normally going to have at least twins or triplets or something like that, occasionally up to five. In Africa, next to the desert, our herder friends tell us you only get one goat. When they have babies, there's one kid. One kid. Except our friend Chuso, who was one of the early believers in our favorite village in West Africa, where everybody else is another religion. And they persecute him, and they don't give him the stuff. If somebody comes to give extra blankets to everybody, and if Chuso's not there to get one, they won't give him one. If there's extra food for everybody, they won't give him one, because he's a believer. He doesn't go to the mosque. And he told me how hard it is on him because of that. And then he smiled. But he says, everybody knows that when my goats have babies, they always have twins. God gives them back to me. So here, the people persecute and keep the things away from him. And Chuso, God just gives him, just like if you're in the United States, he gets two goats, not just one. And that's how he can continue to live without the giving of others. God can bless in different ways. And you too, if you give generously today, you might go home and have two goats. Well, no, that's not actually the way the message goes. But God can bless you in many different ways. And in fact, it says it there in verse 12. That's where we're looking for God's blessing. It could be money, could be joy, could be a thousand other ways that God blesses you. And perhaps if you are a goat raiser, maybe you'll get some more goats. I don't know. But the principle is in there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and that is, you sow and then you reap. If you're living what God wants, you're going to reap what God wants. That does not mean, and I keep repeating this so you don't think we're saying here, put money in the plate and you're going to get a check for lots of money. No, you might have all kinds of problems. But you have blessing from God, which is superior to anything else. And in many instances, some good things come that are really, really, very, very, very special. Now, it's not how much we gain or money that we have that helps us to heaven. And I share this because it says it right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, like in verse 9. It says that Jesus was rich and became poor for us, that we being poor might be rich, so that we who have nothing can have everything. Now, it's a little bit coded, but it's this. We're not working our way to heaven. We cannot do the good things to get us into heaven. But Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. So he could trade all that he was and had on the cross. He could give up all of his righteousness, that we who have no righteousness could gain his righteousness. Now, that's a big word, righteousness. And you want to talk to one of the elders or me or somebody else afterwards, we can talk about that, about how you can't work your way in heaven. You can't give your way into heaven. I'll be glad for you to be generous, but that's not how you're going to get Jesus. However, if you have Jesus, you will grow in your generosity. So today, do you know Jesus? Not know about Jesus, but know him in a personal relationship. He's the one that runs your life. It'll show in your generosity. Do you not know Jesus? I'm learning from Malachi. You don't have that relationship with God. You're really focused on getting for self. And that can change. Now, I would say the first priority is get right with God. The second priority is handling the plate. You do what you think, but don't let this be any less than a first priority that gets your heart right with God. We learned this in Vacation Bible School. A. Somebody from VBS, tell me, what does A mean? Andrew. Okay, admit you're a sinner. B. Somebody else. You've got it. So, yeah. Ian's always got the good answer. Believe in Jesus. You know, that he's God's son, that he lived and died and rose again in the cross. And C. What's C? Okay. Yes, Olivia. Confess. Confess your sin. Confess that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. You want him to be that Lord, you know, means like your boss. Savior is the one that's going to get you into heaven. ABC. So you have any questions about that? You can talk to the elders, talk to me. Talk to the kids that were in Vacation Bible School. They can explain how that all works. And that's what I would encourage you to do. And then your pocketbook and your wallet will eventually be affected too. Let's pray that it happens that way. Gracious Father, we thank you that you were generous with us. We thank you that though Jesus was rich, he became poor on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, that we who are poor become rich with eternal blessings when we trust in Jesus. Father, there's people here that can just talk about how you've given them money hand over fist because of the relationship with you, and others that have not. They know you and you've blessed them in other ways. Lord, we cherish, we desire, our heart is for people coming to know Jesus personally. And we pray you would help them to grow in every way, including in that generosity, that they might reflect Jesus to a world that needs him, and that others through what they see, the changes they see, would come to know Jesus also. Use us in that way. We pray for Pastor Chris Moyer. Thank you for how you're using him in Europe. We pray for Pastor Mike and how you're using him in Africa to start a school, maybe two schools. And Lord, we pray for those of us that are here in Perryville and thereabout, that you'd bless and use us, even down to our children that know their ABCs, to make a difference in this world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.